I'm trying to think. Which one? How much time do we have? I don't want to overstay my welcome. Since I'm the guest, you guys are like, you know, want to let the Philadelphia poets represent.
You got like 7 minutes.
Okay. So I'll do 2 short poems, and yeah, that should work. This is when I lived in Brooklyn, when slumlords don't respond. At first, the ceiling opens up a crack of relief, as if an old woman's skin gasps under layers of slathered foundation. When it rides across the ceiling a few more inches, calling the landlord and pouring yellow water from a plastic pail shapes daily ritual. Caked over patchwork plaster strips fall from the growing hole. It haunts the room with gurgle echoes at night. After 2 months, the hole opens like a parted labia, a rich brown at its center, pouring liquid amber that can't be mopped up any longer. Crumbled ceiling lines bucket bottoms. Bathroom leaks weep while talking to the distant, empty room. And on a, you know, a much brighter note, I used to teach in North Lawndale. If you guys are familiar with Jonathan Kozol's Savage Inequalities, it's the neighborhood in Chicago that he wrote about in that book. So it was the first place where I ever taught. And there was a teacher I met there who worked with the kids, and he was always like the most patient man I had ever seen with children in my life. So I asked him, I said, how did you get to be so patient? So he told me this story, and it's kind of a dramatic retelling of what he told me, because he grew up in the tenement buildings that are really similar to what Richard Wright describes in 12 Million Black Voices or In the Mecca by Gwendolyn Brooks. So it was like, oh man, how could I tell this story? Because I think kids need to hear it now when they think about how they depict neighborhoods where life is hard. So this is for him, wherever he is. For those who need a true story, the landlord told Raymond's mother that $12 would be deducted from their rent for every rat killed. She sends her son to the store for a loaf of Wonder Bread and 5 pounds of ground beef. Young Raymond returns with bread and meat that she tears and mixes inside a metal bowl. Mama seasons this meatloaf with rat poison pulled from the cabinet beneath the sink. Well done, meat sits steaming in the middle of the kitchen floor. Then the scratching scurries. The squeaking begins and screeches its way toward the bowl. Raymond describes the wave of rats like a tidal crash, covering the bowl, leaping over each other's bodies, then the dropping, the stutter kicks. A chorus of rat screams ramble through Raymond's ears, keening furry bodies, tense paws against churning guts as they hit cracked linoleum until an hour passes. Silence swept away the din in death's footsteps. The mother's voice quivers in her next request. Raymond, help me count them. They waded through these small deaths with rubber gloves, listened to the thump of each dead rat as it rustled against the slackness of plastic bags. Raymond wanted to stop counting, but Mama needed to save $12 wherever she could if they wanted to finally leave the rats behind. After the last rat was counted, Raymond handed the bag to the landlord as proof. Here, enough rats to skip the rent for 3 months. Enough rats to avoid the fear of sweet sleeping breath leading to bitten lips. Healthy children wrapped in designer dictates cannot describe Raymond's fear of rabies. The smell of poison rotting from the inside out, the scratching inside the walls at night. Those children should find soft lives that drop pendulums in their dreams and never tell another story about the ghetto till they've had to count rats with their hands.
We're going to take a 10-minute break, and about a quarter after 9, we'll come back here and listen to And you are.
Yay!
Bathroom and coffee and everything.
I love that guy.
Upstairs.